The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter, beginning with verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man came to save the lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them and by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
Let us pray to the Lord. Gracious and merciful Father, today you challenge us again to love our neighbor as ourselves. To love not only our family and friends, but even those who sometimes hate us, criticize us, and speak evil against us. To obey the words of the Lord in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, "Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." Now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The words for our meditation today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the epistle lesson appointed for today, Romans chapter 13, with special attention to verses 8 and 10. "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. This is the word of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our personal Savior and the Lord of our Christian life, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What a wonderful and yet at the same time challenging statement on this Sunday morning by our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. As a matter of fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, beginning verse 36, an expert in the law asked Jesus the question, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus told him, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And then Jesus says, the other one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then if I were to ask you this morning, do we love our neighbor as ourselves? As a matter of fact, do we really love our spouse? Do we love our children and grandchildren? Our family, our friends, our neighbors? Do we love everyone here at Shepherd in the Pines? Do we even love those who hurt us, criticize us, wrong us? And the answer is no, not always. Because of sin, you and I must be honest this morning to the Lord and confess that it's not always easy to love our neighbors as ourselves. It's tough. And sometimes very difficult to do that. Let's be clear about that. As we confessed again in the words of the act of confession and received God's absolution through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This is especially true when we have been hurt or wronged by others. Did you ever experience that? I'm sure you have. I have many a times. When we have been accused or criticized by someone for something we haven't really done. Remember that one? When we have been betrayed or slandered by someone in whom we have placed all of our trust in them. Does any of this sound familiar to you? I'm sure it does. It has happened to all of us. Unfortunately, when it happens to us, we then have a very difficult time coping with it and loving them and forgiving them as God has loved us through His Son, Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, our first reaction is not to love them as Christ has loved us. Our first reaction, even as Christians, is to fight back as hard as we possibly can. Remember doing that? To retaliate, to get even with them for what they have done to me or to you. To do what they used to do in the Old Testament. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot. It was called the law of retaliation in the Old Testament. Not so in the New Testament anymore, when Jesus came. And He changed all of that. You don't retaliate anymore, Jesus says. You love them. You forgive them. As I have forgiven you. Jesus came and He preached and taught about what? Love and mercy and kindness and compassion and forgiveness. Not retaliation. As a matter of fact, this is what Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, beginning verse 38. Listen to what He says. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Now that's hard to do, isn't it? Do not resist an evil person. But Jesus doesn't stop there, and he goes on to say, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, you know, that hurts sometimes. Turn to him, the other one on the left. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you. And do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. What a challenge. Do not resist an evil person. Go the extra mile. Do not turn them away, says Jesus. Because that's precisely what St. Paul emphasizes in our text for today in the epistle lesson read. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. But Paul doesn't stop there, and he goes on to say, love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. As a matter of fact, Jesus says even more in the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting anything back. What a challenge the Lord places us this morning. That's precisely what the Good Samaritan did. Remember the story? When he helped a man who was his enemy, by the way, and had been robbed and almost beaten to death. Yes, even though this man was a Jew and considered his enemy, the Samaritan still loved him, took care of him, and he didn't expect to get anything back from him either. That was also true of the prodigal son. We all know the story, don't we? Who demanded his part of the inheritance from his father and left home. When his money ran out, guess what? His friends were there no longer. He didn't have enough food to eat. Didn't even have a place to sleep. And then he remembered how wonderful it was to be at home with his father and his oldest brother. He missed it. So he came to his senses and he went back to home again and he asked the Father for forgiveness. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And what did the Father do? Did he say, get lost, my son? Did he shut the door on him? No. He embraced him. He kissed him, and he celebrated with a party. This Son of Man was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. That's precisely what God the Father has also done for us through Jesus. When we sin, we mess up. We make mistakes. And we hurt other people sometimes. God forgives us. He doesn't say get lost. In fact, he invites us to come to him and hear the words, your sins are forgiven, go in peace. Yes, even though we don't deserve or merit God's love through his Son, Jesus Christ, he loves us anyway, no matter what we do. He takes us back again and again. And he doesn't hold that against us either. God doesn't keep a score on how many times we have sinned. God loves us with his everlasting love that has no end. Remember when Jesus was betrayed, when Jesus was attacked and criticized and slandered and accused for something he didn't do, he never retaliated. He never fought back or took revenge. On the contrary, what did Jesus say as he was suffering and dying on the cross? Remember those words? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing to me. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. Even when sometimes we are right and they are wrong. I've learned in my ministry that even though I'm right and my parishioner was wrong, I still say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I offended you or I misinterpreted anything that happened. Because that's the right thing to do. Forgive as God has forgiven us. Paul says, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Yes, I hope and pray that we all will be like the Good Samaritan who helped a stranger, his enemy, to be like the father for his prodigal son. And ultimately, to be just like Jesus in his humility, in his kindness, love, compassion, and forgiveness. I'm always reminded of what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4. Listen to what he says. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other as God in Christ forgave you. Yes, may God the Father bless us and preserve us today through His Holy Spirit as we follow the example of the Good Samaritan, the father for His prodigal son, and ultimately, just like Jesus in His humility, through His love, mercy, kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. That's precisely what we sang about today. Are we Christians here at Shepherd in the Pine Lutheran Church by our love? And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love? Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Love conquers evil. That's what Jesus expects from us today. Love your neighbor as yourself. God bless you in your walk with Jesus. And as you love your neighbor, especially your family, your friends, everyone here at church, hopefully, as we work and walk together, hand in hand, remember the hymn? As we work with each other, side by side, I hope we mean that. And it starts here. In our homes, in our church, and then out into the community. God bless you. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be and abide with us all into life everlasting. Amen.